You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on now. Find great deals on the Nissan Rogue, Qashqai, Kicks, and Sentra online at ScarboroughNissan.com or in person on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Jamie Noodles McLennan. We're here until 7 p.m. We'll get back into the Monday Nighters last night. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider in studio. Are you a big DeMarcus Lawrence fan, Pierre?
Yeah.
Would you condone his work on Sunday when a kid wanted him to sign something and he said, get the hell out of here?
No, I never liked to see that.
He had a Giants jersey.
In fact, who was the player... And my mind is freezing now. Who was the player? The guy had a jersey from another team at camp in the NFL, and he went to get his own team's jersey and signed everything with the kid. This happened during camp. It was a great YouTube.
Oh, I didn't see
great
that.
Great moment. No. I forget who it was. That's how you approach things, right?
Well, you're a classy man.
I get it.
I'm full of love. I have no room for hate in my life.
Because the Cowboys won. Yeah, that's why.
Gonna do a bit of winning this year, I must say.
I feel very good about Dallas. I mean, I goof on you, but I think they're a playoff team. They're a really good team. So what's going on here in the National Hockey League? Now everyone's in their towns and everything's starting to really get going this week. You get physicals by Thursday. We just did our SportsCenter tease, and the big line is the RFA crunch time.
Yeah.
Is that actually legit? Like, do these RFAs really care about camp or what?
And is a guy like Zach Rowenski, does that speed things up maybe for the D guys to say, you know what, maybe that might work for me?
You know, it really depends on the player. And what I'm saying is this. Yeah, it's a crunch time because camp is starting. It is for some guys. Like, I bet you for a guy like Braden Point, it'll drive him crazy not to be the start of camp because Tampa wants to win. They're hungry for revenge, and he's at the heart of it. I think there are other players who have had this conversation with their agents for 6 months who are prepared mentally to say, punt camp unless the team comes to you. And the real pressure point is missing games, is October. It really depends on the player. I mean, you know, I had an agent say to me today, now he doesn't have any guys involved, but he thinks there'll be two or three Nylanders, two or three December 1st situations.
Wow.
But I will say this. I'm not saying that's impossible. You have to be a certain kind of human being to be able to gut it out like William Nylander did. First of all, he's come out and said it screwed up his year, but he got his money. Him having his strong convictions to see that through against the Leafs got him the money. My point is, it's not every player that's going to want to go through this. There are players that once there's a week of camp that has passed that they really start to fret because that's how they're made up, and they don't want their season to go down the toilet because they're missing time. And this is what teams are balancing. This is what teams are gauging in terms of their specific situation. But to me, the most interesting situation in the league is Winnipeg because they have two guys in this position. Now, I do think at some point a deal with Kyle Connor gets done. But, you know, I'm going to talk about this on SportsCenter tonight. But Winnipeg is in an interesting position. Once one of those two guys signs, I had another team say this to me today. Is there a vulture situation there? I mean, once one guy signs, the Jets are right close to the cap. Let's say Connor signs first. Do you go after Liney if you're another team? Like, if you're Winnipeg, do you have to be careful that you don't bring these two negotiations have to be handled almost in a linear fashion to protect yourself?
You think it's honestly, like, what is the likelihood of Winnipeg signing both of them? I don't see how they do it.
I think they will in this way, O'Dog.
One guy's going to want 10, one guy's going to want 8.
I don't even, it's less about money than term. I think what you do is you go longer with Connor and you bridge Liney. And then really what you're doing is pushing the Liney conversation for another day.
Right. To see
that's
what
the way
is.
I would do it.
This guy had an off season and scored 30. Off season.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't want to do that? What if he's like, that's great, man, but I'm not signing a bridge deal?
I think he would sign a bridge deal. And probably the only reason it hasn't happened is money, going back to O-Dog's thing. But I think you do a bridge deal if you're Liney for two reasons. One, you know that you're better than what you showed at times last year. You're going to put up way bigger numbers. Especially, let's say, you know, if you play bigger minutes this year, you know, stuff like that. Number two, if Liney himself, and I'm not saying this is a case, I haven't talked to the guy, but if Liney himself isn't quite so sure about his future in Winnipeg, I'm not saying that's the case, but let's say that's in question, the bridge deal protects you in that fashion as well.
Short-term deal, yeah.
You think one of these guys gets traded? I think one of them does.
Like this year?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there's zero intention to do anything like that with Kyle Connor. I don't think they want to trade Lyman either. Like, but I'm saying of the
group,
two.
The whole group. You go from Point to Marner.
Oh, I see everyone. Right.
He was saying potentially one of these RFAs could get the gate. And I don't. I mean, teams want to keep them, but
yeah.
At some point, you have to move past it. Or do you just outweigh it?
So what I don't like in that trade is I don't know how you win it with any of these top guys. How are you winning a Mikko Rantanen trade?
Unless you're training him for...
Matthew Tkachuk.
Or...
Well...
Who knows? But
yeah.
Marner. Like that, you have to trade apples for apples. You can't do...
Trading a headache for headache at that point. Why would Colorado splurge more on another guy of equal talent at that point? But and my point is I understand what you're saying, and certainly when it comes to Marner... If it goes too far, you know, or the Leafs going to have a cutoff point. The Leafs do not want to trade this guy because they know they don't get better. You know? Yeah.
Well, it's interesting what you said about Point and his mentality. Like, why does that not apply with Mitch Marner? Why does he not a centerpiece for a cup contending team?
Who's to say
team?
It doesn't?
Well, it should.
I haven't talked to Mitch Marner.
No, I understand that, but I don't get the impression. Like, I think these guys are all lucky that they're all in it together. There's an NBA element to this. When LeBron was the first one to say, I'm out of here and I'm taking my talent somewhere else, they all said, I can do it now because LeBron went first.
Well, don't you think Braden Point is sitting there saying, oh, well, this guy, Mitch Marner up in Toronto, thinks he's worth $10 million. Why the hell would I sign for anything less? But then the team is saying, look at our structure.
Right.
We have Hedman. We have Stamkos. Yes. We have Kucherov that don't make that. So why in the hell do you think you deserve it?
I agree with that. What I'm talking about is the public perception and the heat.
Right.
These guys, I think, are lucky that they live in the era that we currently live in, where everyone's terrified to be critical because of social media. Everything, like, they get backed up a lot. The fact of the matter is, this happened 20 years ago. You don't show up to camp. You're too greedy to get a deal done. You would get destroyed.
Right.
Destroyed, and it doesn't happen anymore.
It's plus, the fan bases around the league were programmed for the last 12 months by people like me that this class of player was going to go hard in these negotiations. So every fan alive, unless they were living under a rock, knew that this is probably what we're going to get in September. Number two, it's not just the players that are sheltered by the collective stance. I think the GMs are sheltered to some degree. If you're the only GM in a league where your top young player is unsigned, everyone's going, what are you doing wrong?
Yeah, that's right.
Why isn't your guy signed? But now Kyle Dubas and Brad Treliving and Julian Brisebois and Joe Sakic are saying, hey, look around. It's not just me.
You're right. It's a two-way street. So, the GMs are getting off the hook a little bit as well because the other guy isn't getting anything done.
But GMs are, I mean, I think it may have been you on this show or another insiders. There were GMs that were kind of not happy with the Toronto situation in Kyle Dubas. You know, the Matthews deal, there was no, you know, no give and take. It was just blank check. What do you want? Same thing with Nylander, you know.
No, those contracts did not sit well with other teams, but there is a time when the Toronto Maple Leafs have to say, we can do things differently with signing bonuses.
Right.
Yeah, and we will.
And we're big boys, and if we can use that and you can't, too bad on you. I mean, some of that, the Leafs at some point, I wish they would actually come out and say it sometimes. I mean,
yeah, flex muscle. I mean,
not financial every contract signed in the league has to be for the collective well-being of the NHL. Sometimes you want your team to have an edge.
But that's and what, Brian, you brought that
the Leafs
up
have
the
an edge.
Day.
You know?
The signing bonus, you know, my understanding is it gets taxed very differently, the signing bonuses, compared to every other contract structure.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where this whole tax issue with Florida, with Arizona, it actually doesn't come into play. Like, the Maple Leafs are basically on the same level because they're paying 90% in bonus. So it gets taxed differently. So this idea that, you know, players are freaking out because in Tampa they get this and in Arizona they get that. This salary and the way that they're structuring it here is a big benefit to the Maple Leafs.
Well, and what a lot of teams didn't like the Matthews deal is this term because it walks them right into UFA. And, of course, that's what Carolina had a fight on its hands with Aho and why it resulted in an offer sheet because Carolina said they were never going to sign him for less than 8 years. And he turns around and gets Montreal involved to get his five-year deal.
Right.
So term is a gigantic issue. Strangely enough, as I said to you last week, guys, it actually isn't really in the Marner negotiation, which is odd. It's almost like counterintuitive to all the other negotiations. I think there's a three-year deal that would make potential sense term-wise, a six-year deal that could make sense. But at what cost?
What number?
That's where the fight is. But that's where I think if you're the Leafs, you're confident that your organization, even if your guy's heading into UFA, I asked Austin Matthews a question last Friday. Like, you know, it's been suggested that you, by, you know, someone this summer, that you signed 5 years to get out, and he just rolled his eyes. I mean, that's just... Let him have one. Exactly. He hasn't even started his deal. And the point
you're
is...
You're the one that asked him the question, though.
Well, I mean, it's out there. Let him address it. And he basically boo-pooed it. But my point is, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs and you believe in your program, what does it matter if the guy could be UFA at the end of a deal? You believe in what you're selling, then just sign the guy again.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Have confidence in what you've built and who you are. With Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, you also reported that Babcock flew down to meet with Matthews again this year.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get out like it did 12 months ago. That kind of felt like a maneuver that was calculated. Like Babcock's like, I got to go back the next year to prove that the year before was not me saying, I got to fly down to see you. Like, because eventually it did get out. This didn't stay.
I mean,
it got out.
Yeah.
It got out that Babcock flew back down to Arizona and meet with
I don't want to get into Babcock's head or Austin's head on this, other than to say that I don't know that I'm good at every part of my job, but one thing I try to read is body language, and I will tell you that Austin Matthews and Mike Babcock, I think, have turned a real important page in our relationship. Now, we'll see how the year goes.
Like a captaincy page?
That's what I...
I don't know about that, but I'm saying I think there's
this realization... You know? Like, what are you talking about?
I think there's a realization...
What do you have for us here?
I think there's a realization of how much maybe they need each other moving forward.
Yeah.
In terms of the kind of success that is going to benefit both of them if they see things through the same lens. And so a lot of positivity from Austin when I sat with him last Friday. And, I mean, through the phone line from Babcock... Unbelievable enthusiasm about this guy's ready. He's comfortable in his own skin. Let's go. So it's interesting.
To me, that trip to Arizona, maybe it is to chat about the captaincy. Like maybe if Babcock's saying all the right things and this guy's ready and all of that, like ready for what?
Well, yeah. Babcock needs Matthews more than Matthews needs Babcock. Let's be honest about that. Now, I think it's in the best interest of the player to be on the same page with the coach.
Yeah.
Matthews isn't going anywhere.
Well, he's going to outlast him. The player's going to outlast the coach.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I stayed away from the captaincy angle in my column because of this reason. I understand how a lot of people were going to read it the way you did in terms of Babcock's very enthusiastic comments about Matthews' evolution as a leader. But then I was thinking, what if this is also teeing up the market that if he doesn't give it to him, make sure everyone knows how he feels about him anyway. So I don't want to overthink it, so let's just see what happens.
Well, I mean, that's a storyline that is going to heat up as we get into camp. And
it's,
like, they're actually going to start playing
games. Is it not storyline number two?
Outside of Marner, yeah.
Exactly. One is Marner. Two is who's going to be the captain. Or is there any other massive storyline that you... Other than...
I mean, the revamped D is fascinating to me.
Yeah, Tyson Berry, the bottom of the roster in basically players, what, 7 to 12?
Yeah, I think Cody Ceci has a bounce-back moment in his career here in Toronto, better surrounded.
I'd like to see him play with Jake Muzzin. I think Jake Muzzin could settle him down.
Three of the top four in the Leafs are UFA in a year.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, there's a team that just seems to be willing to live in the new economics of the league, which is... living today and worry about the rest later. Last thing I would say is this. Matthews worked a lot with Daryl Belfry this summer on a couple of new moves, refuses to go into them. I don't think he will use them in preseason, so we'll have to wait till the regular season. But I think
Who's
it'll
new
be
moves?
Matthews. And I think it'll be obvious when we see it. I love that stuff, though.
What kind of moves could we be talking
maybe
about?
Maybe a no-dog move.
Oh, there you go. Like a triple deke like Charlie Conway and the Mighty Ducks. Bet you that's the move, the triple deke.
Could be.
New moves.
You see that Capo Caco's move there?
Oh, my gosh.
I have not been paying attention to
the rookie tournament.
He scored
all over SportsCenter.
He scored a goal yesterday. Well, he was more worried. That football game was
fantastic.
It
on last night? Because I was concentrating on something.
He scored an overtime.
We already see the greatest game of the year in the NFL.
That was an incredible game last night.
Unbelievable.
Houston +7. Great game.
Yeah. Caco did a couple circle the infield, and then it was an OT winner, too, right?
Might have been interference on the play, by the way.
I thought it was a pick by Fox.
That's Fox the old
pick. Like,
yeah,
complete
but is that
pick.
Is it the old Willie Mays, Lou Brown? Like he gets to the bench, nice play.
No,
but don't ever do it again.
No,
like,
no.
You're not doing that
in
the NHL.
It was a great play.
No, it was like this
at rookie
this kid
camp.
Is like, yeah, it's at rookie.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like
it was at
if
rookie camp,
you know, someone legit is on the ice, is that gonna fly?
I think in the new NHL, like you know. A defender would just be trying to chase him. Like
I don't even know why. You got a high-profile draft pick. Why are they going to rookie camp? Just let him. Treat them like an NHL player. Well, Go right to Big Cam.
He's an NHL player. That kid can play.
Little,
he's good.
Little North American adjustment, I guess, whatever. But I'm with you. I mean, the guy's ready. So I have a segment for Noodles, by the way, on SC.
Yeah.
I talked briefly about this on Leafs Lunch yesterday. Rank the goalies in the Atlantic.
Well, there's, including Freddie Anderson, there's five.
Well, so I think the top three in the world are in the division, if not
Price,
four of the top five.
Vasilevsky. And then Anderson.
Tukaras just had the playoff of his life. Freddie Anderson puts up 35 wins a year. I mean, I know it seems obvious to say, but now that Bobrovsky's gone to Florida, I was looking at it the other day and I said, you're not getting a cheap goal any night in this division, basically.
That's why I continue to say that the Leafs are going to make the playoffs and not worried about it. But if you think it's just Tampa, Toronto, Boston as a lock, 1-2-3, I think you're wrong. Because I think points are going to be, Price is going to steal points. Bobrovsky's going to steal points, and that may be off of those guys. So they, I don't think Tampa just marches to 62 wins. I think it's going
to
be a lot tougher
to kind of grind, and
they don't want 62 wins.
They don't want it. Yeah. They need, but Florida's going to get some wins, and those, like that division with five fantastic goaltenders, there's going to be some points stolen just by the goalies alone. So the Leafs may, they got 100 last year. They may end up with 98. They may leave a couple on the table. But it's all about what they do in the playoffs anyways.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they're getting there as well. But to your point, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
It's not going to be a cakewalk.
If you're at 98, you might be a wild card team.
But there's two or three teams that are in rebuilds or aren't there yet. Everyone else is kind of like right there.
Yeah.
And so second layer to this theme, load management. Boston purposely brings in Halak to spell Rask. It results in what we saw from Rask.
2.75 they spent on
him. McElhinney's in with Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
Montreal is talking about limiting Price to 55. I'll believe it when I see it because I think they get the march and it's live and die. So
Kincaid,
I don't know about that one.
1.9 on Kincaid.
Wouldn't shock me if Zdeno Chara played 60 games this year.
My point is getting to Freddie Anderson. My point is the plan. I know they're talking, but the Leafs need to have that plan like the other top dogs, goaltending-wise.
I could see Michael Neuwirth playing 20-plus games, personally.
If he's healthy, I think he can.
If he's healthy, and obviously they've got to sign him. He's on a PTO, and it will be a battle. I'm not taking anything away from Michael Hutchinson because I think that will be a battle. But if Neuwirth is healthy and shows what he's capable of, the Leafs will have real good depth in net.
I saw Dave Tippett, the new coach of Edmonton. Like, he's just fighting with McDavid and Dreisaitl. You can just tell in his head. He's like, what am I supposed to do with these two guys?
Right.
Because they so clearly want to play together.
Up, yeah.
And I think I don't know if he's under marching orders, but the intention, even though it was a past regime, was McDavid 1, Dreisaitl 2, up the middle of the ice. But Dreisaitl had 50 last year. I would play them together. I would load them up. And that's just for entertainment purposes. I have no skin in the game. I want to see them play. Play them 23 minutes a night and let them score 120 points apiece. Because I don't think you're going to the playoffs anyway.
And it's funny because Todd McClellan, when he was there, it was always in theory. He knew that it was better to have Dreisaitl and McDavid separated for matchup reasons and all kinds of reasons. And when it was life or death time, they were back together. And they have Nugent Hopkins, who does a good job.
They had no depth. That's why you had nobody you could go to that go, okay, well, we can give this guy a rest.
Hitchcock did the same thing.
Well, nothing's changed. It's the same lineup.
They had, that's why you look at that. You had 2,500 games of experience between Hitchcock and McClellan. Like, it wasn't the coaches. As much as Hitch was being a hero with Puljujärvi, I don't think Puljujärvi's a top six player right now. A top six. They were force feeding this kid in the top six.
Like, that went quiet pretty quickly. Like, where is he?
He's in Finland.
No, I know that, but is he ever going to play over here again or what?
Well, listen, to Noodle's point about the Oilers roster, you said the same roster. There's no bigger indictment of what probably people thought of the Oilers roster than the fact that Todd McClellan actually got a raise by leaving there. He's making more money in L.A. after being fired in Edmonton.
Well, he's not going to win in L.A. right now.
No, but my point is, no one, and Buffalo interviewed him, no one held it against Todd McClellan that things went south in Edmonton, is what I'm saying.
It didn't hurt his marketplace, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, that's an indictment on Chiarelli, and it's an indictment on the organization.
Yeah.
LA's a weird team because, you know, they got the carryover from the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kopitar has one good year, one bad year based on his standards. So
Gaudy had an off year.
They got to get it back on track this year, or they have to honestly look at
breaking up the band. Well, I mean, it would start quick. I'm pretty sure. I have to check his contract. I think he's got this year and three more years at 5'8", but I don't think he has a no trade. Like, I think it's just a flat out, it was a 10-year deal. But I don't think there was a no trade or a no move. I'll check it. But
I think it's this year and two more years. Yeah. And people were wondering. I think some teams phoned late last year. And I think, Rob Blake for now is like, quick, Doughty, Kopitar, let's try and figure this out and see. You know, they've gotten younger. They have a new coach. You know, they just want to be competitive at this point, have a younger lineup, a faster lineup. But, again, there's a lack of depth there.
Well, it is open out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that division. Yeah, like Calgary, I can't get a read on. I don't think Calgary's going to repeat what they did a year ago. David Riddick, Cam Talbot.
Plus,
Kachuk, I don't know
Kachuk's
not
in
up.
The lineup. Like, that's one thing. You hope he gets done.
I think it's Vegas or San Jose for the title there in the Pacific.
Yeah.
We always say San Jose. Every year we say San Jose.
I don't expect it to change.
I mean look Martin at that blue line. This should be it's
yeah. No, I know.
They got a lot of talent up front too. They're loaded up front. Like they got some Hurdle's a good player. Meyer's a good player.
They got Meyer on value.
Yeah.
Logan Couture had a great year. Yeah.
He's
that's
yeah, those are the teams. Vegas
Carlson
and San Jose.
I know Joe Thornton's 40, but when he's your third line center, you know you got something going on right there.
Yeah. Agreed. And he's not ever gonna play 82 games. Like
they're gonna miss that Pavelski though. He's
heart and soul player.
38 goals a year.
Yeah.
Power play guy. They'll miss him.
Dallas is interesting. They replaced Pavelski, or replaced Spezza with Pavelski, technically, that same money. But they're older. Like, they got older.
Mm-hmm. Really good dynamic blue line in Dallas. Well, yeah, they'll be a factor.
Ben Bishop, if he's healthy, can obviously play.
The Central's fascinating. Colorado is a hit pick already, I can tell from a lot of people, because of what we saw in the playoffs and a full year of Cale Makar. I mean, that's exciting. Dallas has improved. The Blues are cup champions. I talked to Doug Armstrong today, the GM of the Blues, and how do you fight that hangover, which is real. Let's just be honest. I mean, it was hard on Washington last year, but the Blues have brought back the entire roster other than one player. The band is back together.
What did you make of this piece in The Athletic, Rob Rossi catching up with Malkin?
Mm-hmm.
We discussed it at length in the 4 p.m. hour. Phil Kessel back into the meat grinder, just a character assassination of Phil. And Rossi reporting, Malkin basically said it's either me or Phil.
Right.
And Malkin wouldn't admit to it on the record, but it kind of feels like that's basically what happened.
And to understand some background, I mean, Rob Rossi, obviously calling him on The Athletic, he goes way back with Evgeny Malkin. You know, you sort of pick the guy that you're going to ride with when you cover a team for a living, and Malkin has always been Rob Rossi's guy. And so there's a really strong relationship there. Obviously, you know, went to Moscow for that piece, and it was revealing. And, you know, let's remember after the Penguins were knocked out, it sort of came out like, well, are the Penguins listening on Malkin or not? And, of course, it was shot down, as it always is. But you guys know the business. It's almost like sometimes you want that out there just to see before you shoot it down, you know? And so
is you got to ask Stones to say him or me, and you're the guy that stays. You got to have some clout for that one.
Well, they picked the right guy.
Yeah.
They picked the right guy.
Let's be honest.
Well, and Rossi reported that Crosby walked in and said, actually, Malkin's not on the market.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about Crosby's clout and how he feels about his guy. They showed up at the same time. They've been ride or die for 13 years.
Yeah.
What is that part? Crosby apparently stepped in?
Yeah, Crosby, based on the piece, you know, effectively spoke with Jim Rutherford and said, actually, it's not just Sid, it's Sid and Gino. Like, Malkin's not going anywhere.
Gino's because Rutherford had said there's only one untouchable, and Sid was like, actually, there's two. It's Sid and Gino.
Yeah.
And for the record, I mean, Jim Rutherford has said that he never had any intention to talk to teams about Evgeny Malkin. I would tell you that it would surprise me that Merrill Lemieux would enjoy the idea of Evgeny Malkin being out there. But whenever the Penguins lose, there's this sense of, can we keep this band together? That's always the first knee-jerk reaction in terms of analyzing.
Yeah, they're no kids anymore.
It's been a long go here.
Yeah.
Three cups, terrific success, but it's like the Blackhawks. Every time there's something bad that happens, you're like, okay, you know, we need to look at this. And I actually think Blackhawks are a sneaky team to me, by the way. I mean, they have gotten younger around the old core. They've gotten younger around them, so they'll be interesting.
Agreed. That Strome had a nice finish with them.
Yeah,
Brinkat. Yeah. Yeah. Brinkat is real. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah, good team. All right, Pierre. Good seeing you, man.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too, buddy.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, come on now.
I don't think Quick has a move. No move.
Trade him.
You might have to.
Jonathan Quick. Trade Drew Doughty. If he has another year like he did last year, that name is going to be on the market.
You guys are the ones that are going to start it.
So. Yeah, I will. Exactly. Absolutely. Get him up here. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Back into the Monday Nighters last night. Oakland saving face and maybe the game of the year down in New Orleans. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget TSN 1050's Up Close and Unfiltered series returning to the Hockey Hall of Fame on September 24th. An exclusive event for listeners to meet every TSN 1050 host. Last year we sold out in an hour, so make sure you're ready to buy tickets this Thursday at 10 a.m. Only 150 tickets available. Get to tsn1050.ca for details.
Did you figure out our routine? Are we working or we didn't work?
Yeah, we're on the air. We're working on that Thursday. It's a Tuesday night.
4 to 7, and then we rushed right down there.
We'll be downtown by 7:30.
No, we didn't work last
year. No, we didn't, but this year we are.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, don't know about that one, but...
We got to be on the air, man. The Leafs will be in camp. We'll be into like week 3 of the NFL.
There'll be lots going on.
Blue Jays will be creeping closer to 100 losses.
God, we got to be on the air. Got to be on the air.
Got to be on the air.
Yeah.
So we will be on the air.
Yeah, it's a lock.
It's a lock.
There'll be flies in here. It'll be like all hell.
I got an idea. Let's at least go on the air down there somewhere.
I think the reason we have to be on the air is a lot of it is the TV component.
Yeah.
So we have to be in here with the TV, with the cameras and the production and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the main reason we have to be on that day. All right?
Got it.
So we're on, and then we head down to the Hockey Hall of Fame and hang out with a bunch of listeners and
grit grinders,
and we're looking forward to that. It's a really cool event.
It's awesome. A lot of fun.
Yeah. That Monday nighter last night, both games were fun games because, like, the Antonio Brown, everyone rooting for Oakland element was definitely applicable last night.
Scored right away, too.
Derek Carr played well. Full credit to him.
Yeah.
Like, full credit. This is a make-it-or-break-it year for Derek Carr. Am I coming with you to Vegas type of season for Derek Carr?
Right.
And it started off really well for him last night. But that New Orleans-Houston game, Deshaun Watson's going to get himself killed, though. Like, that's what became very apparent last night. Laremy Tunsil, our boy, had a tough night. He had a gas mask bong type of evening.
Did he
sure
have the game?
Yeah, he was struggling. But I think he'll get better, and now you understand why they need him, because Deshaun Watson is the real deal, but he gets hit.
Yeah.
And he puts himself in bad spots. Like, that touchdown he ran for last night, I give him credit. It's a lot of courage, but you're going to get yourself killed. You can't dive into the end zone like that.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Well, you saw the slow-mo of his knee just clipping something. It's like, that just can't...
Yeah, you're not...
That can't continue.
You don't do many years of that.
No. But DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, impossible to cover. Like that, we knew that anyway going into the game last night, but the two of them are impossible to cover. Like, as wideouts, it's like... They're 6'4", 6'5". They can run routes. They catch everything. Those two put on a clinic last night. And they're built differently than Antonio Brown, who's right. A smaller guy, speedy guy, catches everything as well. But I guess Brown spoke with the media today. He didn't really say anything.
From his car. Yeah.
So he's fully committed to the Bill Belichick way of operating.
I was just going to say, I wonder if Belichick had a conference call or something with him, or a sit-down. Be like, listen, you know, just play football. Like, none of the nonsense.
Well, Gruden tried to say that to him.
You're right.
He was recording it, and he went public with it.
God, that was nuts.
It is nuts. It still bothers me.
What did he have to say?
Well, Brown didn't say anything, but Belichick, this is what Belichick said when he was asked about the past month and a half of Antonio Brown's life. And whether or not he took it into consideration and what he has to say about it prior to him getting to New England.
Yeah, well, I wasn't either one of those places, so I really can't comment on what did or didn't happen there. Well, it's pretty well documented in both places that he was pretty disruptive. What makes you confident that he won't be that way here?
It's the same thing you said about Randy Moss when we got brought him in. So,
me?
Collectively.
Who is that guy? That guy hates Belichick, whoever that was.
Me? He's like, no,
he sounded familiar. Find out who that was, Grappler, because he was like not he taking was, it yes, from
it
Belichick.
Was Rob Rossi.
It could have been Rob Rossi.
Wasn't it Rob Rossi that went after, what coach was it? Bruce Barry Trotz.
Oh, yeah, Barry Trotz.
He's going after Trotzy in Washington. When
about
Pittsburgh
that Wilson
and Washington.
Hit.
Yeah, the Wilson hit.
Yeah.
Where Trotzy was like, nah, didn't see anything there. And Rossi took so much offense to it.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
But like that reporter hates Belichick's guts.
But I give him credit for that. Because yeah, Belichick's, don't play dumb. Yeah, like, don't pretend like you don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't there. You knew that was coming. Like, that's the Belichick way. He's never going to say anything.
Anyone with a phone or a television knew what the hell was going on with this guy.
Right. Like, the guy posted a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Secretly recording his coach talking to him.
Then another one running around after he got released.
Right. He had frostbite on his feet. He showed up to day one of camp in a hot air balloon. He complained about the helmets when every player in the league has to wear the same helmet. Yeah. He, like, don't pretend like you don't know what's up, Bill.
The hot air balloon is kind of...
It's creative.
It is creative.
It was Tom Curran. So Tom Curran's a big guy down in Boston. So he's got history with Belichick. And,
yeah.
But Belichick, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Belichick's not going to give you anything.
What do you think? I mean, if Brown just floats into Foxborough in a hot air balloon, do you think Belichick, like...
I don't think he's coming in like Mary Poppins. I don't see it happening.
Cut immediately.
Cut. Yeah. But he's right about the Randy Moss stuff. Like, everyone was like, Moss is a complete disaster. He's going to be poisonous in the room. And he showed up and gave him 23 touchdowns and was breaking NFL records.
Yeah.
Moss never won anything, though. They never won a Super Bowl. They lost in the Super Bowl.
They lost to the Giants.
Moss had some problems in Minnesota. Wasn't it like he had a... He got pulled over for weed in his car and, like, they drove away and the cop was still, like, hanging on and, like, dragged
the cop lines
for,
of
like,
all
a
time.
Block.
Got fined $10,000 and we asked him how he paid it and he just said, straight cash, homie.
Cash.
$10,000 cash, homie. I don't think that's the way fines work. They take it right out of your game check, I think.
Well.
But if he could have, he would have paid straight cash. Yeah, he had problems in Minnesota. He was in Oakland. But when he got to New England, it was all good.
Yeah, he was
it worked
a great
out
player.
Fine. Now, he didn't have these type of problems.
No.
Because Antonio Brown, he brought it to a completely different level in terms of the dramatics and soap opera element and just being a disaster. But clearly, Oakland recovered. They had a win last night. So we'll see.
I think they're a good team.
Oakland?
I watched them. They I'm telling you that. This could have been the best thing for them, having this disaster mess with them. And
it can be motivating.
It can be. And behind closed doors, the leaders would have had to have meeting after meeting about this jackass, saying, what are we going to do with this guy? And then having to deal with the manager and the coach. And it's exhausting. They probably just were pumped to get to a game and not have to deal with this guy.
Right.
And the fans were really good.
They showed up last night. They showed up in Oakland. We talked about that earlier. We wouldn't be able to do it if our team was leaving.
No.
If my favorite team was leaving my city to go somewhere else, I would have a real problem with that. I wouldn't be able to support them.
And it never happened ever, but if the Leafs left Toronto, they would still sell out that last year. You don't think
so? They might for sentimental purposes. I mean, it's a big city. I can't speak for everyone. You're probably right.
100 years. They're never going to go anywhere.
I don't think I'd be able to. I wouldn't be able to follow them the same way. You'd just be so jaded.
Yeah, you look at the team differently.
And
then you talk to the players, too. Some of the players would probably want to stay.
Yeah, they're connected. Their kids are in school. You know, their wife loves the neighborhood or whatever it might be.
Right.
And, I mean, Vegas isn't a bad spot. It's not like you're going to Des Moines or something.
No, but it's still, if you're entrenched in the community, and then all of a sudden, like, you haven't been traded, but it's like every player is being traded to a new city.
Yeah, you're packing up and moving.
Yeah.
You see that video going around of the Turkish soccer stadium where in the background of a guy doing a stand-up, there's some kid smoking a cigarette?
Who's like 10.
But here's the thing. We're going to play it. There it is up on TSN 2. Look at that guy. Like, just ripping a dart up in the
stands.
That's
not his first time either. Like, he didn't steal that from his dad's.
I can't see that being real.
It turns out it's a 36-year-old.
That's a 36-year-old?
That's not a kid. It's a 36-year-old man.
It's Benjamin Buttons. That's what it is.
Something's going on there because he is very comfortable smoking. Like, that's a veteran smoker. But that looks like a 10-year-old kid. That's a 36-year-old dude. I saw a picture of him from a different angle, and you can tell he's weathered.
Oh, it just was a bad angle then.
It's a bad angle, and he's obviously got a baby face.
So he's there with his son?
I don't know if those are his kids or not, but...
I got to see the other picture.
Yeah, it's out there. I'll show it to you. But what kind of operation are they running in Turkey where you can just smoke inside the stadium? Like, it's very European.
That's old school. It is very European. Because you can smoke anywhere in Europe, can't you? I always feel like you can, but maybe that's...
There's got to be some sort of limitation somewhere. Like, you can't clearly walk into...
No, you're right.
Government buildings or churches.
Like in
or,
Paris, in France, can you smoke? Like, I always felt like
you'd smoke anywhere, but
smoky.
But I don't think you can walk into the Louvre and start smoking.
No, you're right. Like, I'm sure there's strict rules on places like that. I'm trying to think. I was in Italy this summer, like, where people hacking darts inside. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you do that some places in the States.
It's become a world thing, but.
Down in Pennsylvania, I told you, I was down there last year. You can smoke inside the casinos, inside the bars. I don't think you can watch a Penguins game and smoke.
Art, right.
But maybe a Pirates game. It's an outdoor stadium. PNC Park is outdoors. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things, like, even if you're a smoker, a lot of smokers feel uncomfortable doing it in places where...
Well, now you get shamed, effectively.
Exactly.
Yeah. Over in Europe, I don't think they worry about that. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. The Blue Jays back in action tonight. The Rogers Center will be, I wouldn't say rocking, but the Red Sox are in town, so they'll probably do like $20,000, $25,000.
Yeah, all right.
It won't be like a Shawn Mendes concert. Did he sell all those out? I assume he sold them all out.
Oh, sure.
He played two nights?
That guy, yeah. He's a star. Big star.
Big star.
He's a legend.
So we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline and tee that up. TJ Zoik on the mound tonight. So we get to see the rookie pitch again tonight, this time at home. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on the Dodgers Road Plus in Baltimore tonight. That's going to get ugly for the Orioles tonight. Under the number, Mets D-backs tonight down in New York. And I'm on Milwaukee over Miami. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Talk about two teams that are dying for the season to be over. The Orioles and Miami baseball. The Marlins and the Orioles. They want to get out.
There are...
Like 2 weeks in, their season's over.
Detroit's even worse. Like, Detroit already has 100 losses. They're 42-100 right now. They got 20 games left.
That's terrible.
Could you imagine sitting there being like, we have to come to the stadium 20 more times and play?
Well, they should be cycling. They'll be cycling through, like, young kids and that just getting chances, collecting checks.
They are that bad. Baltimore's got 97 losses. They'll be at 100 losses by this time next week. Miami's at 92, Kansas City's at 91, and the Blue Jays are at 89. So.
You think the Blue Jays hit 100? I don't.
I think they do.
Just shy of 100. 98.
I think they have 18 games left.
98, 9-9.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's got to be.
You want them to be under 100.
They got to say, we cannot get to 100 losses.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? If you can't play, you can't play.
I know, but.
They got Boston in town tonight. Then I think they're at the Yankees. They're not going to beat New York.
They may get a game out of them.
Really? They've lost 7 in a row.
They just got clubbed by Tampa.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, and Tampa's obviously a really good team, but.
Maybe Boston will leave some.
They got 6 left against Baltimore. They're getting wins.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now. They got Boston at home, then the Yankees at home, then they're at Baltimore, at New York, at home to Baltimore, at home to Tampa. They're probably going to get four wins against Baltimore. Can they find, you know, four more wins against Boston, New York, and Tampa?
That may be a little tougher than you think. But
I mean, I don't want them to get to a point where they're punchline. Like, I'm not rooting for them to lose, but
no, I'm saying 98.
I think it would hammer home how bad they've been. Like, they've been very lucky that Bo Bichette and Vlade Guerrero Jr. arrived, because that's the difference between them and Detroit and Kansas City and Miami. They don't have these stud players that showed up.
It's a bit of a soft landing for them.
Very much so.
Where, you're right, if they were a disaster and had nothing, the cupboards were bare, fans would be in an uproar.
Yeah, you'd be you'd be going nuts. You'd That's be like, they, you know, there's still, there's like a sliver of hope that they can turn it around if they spend money and get creative this summer.
How many games?
I don't buy it, but.
How many games did you go to this summer?
I've only been to a couple.
I went to one.
Yeah, it's not.
First summer ever, I've done zero.
In 15 and 16, I must have been down there. I mean, I was there for all the playoff games, and in September, I think I went down two or three times alone, if not more than that.
You probably saw 10 or 15 games
easily live. Yeah. I mean, it was the same with the Leafs when they dropped off the cliff that tank year or the year before that. I wasn't going down to those games.
See, I went this summer with a 2-year-old. Like, it was a waste of my time. He's not watching.
Yeah. I brought my kid down, and she wanted to leave after the first half inning.
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, the park blocks away carrying a
37 years old. That's when you bring him to Disneyland and the ballpark.
We've already been to Disney already.
Yeah.
2.5. No. She was into it. Like, she loves Disney and Mickey and Minnie and all that. So it was all good.
Yeah.
Anyway, good stuff today.
That'll work.
We're back tomorrow at
4
p.m. We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout Sales event is on now. Finance a 2019 Rogue Special Edition at 0% APR for 84 months. Or get up to $5,000 in standard rate finance cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales event is on now. Find great deals on the Nissan Rogue, Qashqai, Kicks, and Sentra online at ScarboroughNissan.com or in person on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.